You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses. Hello, and everyone, welcome to the Guidepost. We're going to talk about algae management. You probably just heard our most recent podcast on the Little Tunny Tournament and why we need y'all to register so we can generate some money for science. But coming up real fast here, Monday the 19th, we got to get our comments of August. We got to get our comments into the state of North Carolina because we are in the second part of a three and a half stage process for rulemaking in North Carolina. So everyone who participated in the first round is basically the same thing. Rinse and repeat. There's going to be another vote at the state commission not this Friday, but next Friday. So that it would be the 16th, the 23rd. The morning 9 a.m. of the 23rd, that same commission is going to vote if they want to go to the next step, the third and the third and a half step for algae guardrail management. So this is the truest form of guardrail management because it would basically, it's not much, but You gotta start somewhere, and we thank North Carolina for doing it. But if the commercial sector goes above 200% of what they've been catching, then they're limited to a 3,500 pound per day catch limit. Which that 3,500 pounds was picked by North Carolina because that was like the top poundage that an individual checked in North Carolina. So, the big thing here and what we've been saying all along is that these regulations aren't going to hurt anyone. They're not going to financially crush anyone. But what they are going to do is stop any new large scale fisheries from potentially emerging in North Carolina. So, if you're a commercial guy and you've been catching albies in whatever fashion you've been catching them, and smaller operation, kind of like a day boat, just salt of the earth commercial fisherman, this isn't going to affect you. It's just not. That's not what we're looking to do. What we don't want is a giant industrial fleet moving in, figuring out how to catch these things in large numbers and, really depleting the resource. So hop on our website, look at the most recent Albie blog. It has all the links, all the buttons that you need, all the information about what the rule is and how you go to the online portal to comment. And the one thing I would say is, like, this is not about, if you were an English major in college, you don't have to deliver the Gettysburg Address. This is a simple comment that you support these guardrail algae regulations and, urging the commissioners to please vote yes on this issue, because it is just a commission vote, and just showing how many people are really grateful that North Carolina is the first state that taken these actions and how this is really important for the coast. So nothing, three sentences, that's all you need. They're just going to go into the portal and look at how many people are in opposition and how many people are for. So this is a numbers matters game. So any thoughts on that, Cody?
What you just hit last, like, that can sometimes be the barrier for people to participate with, like, man, I'd love to throw in a comment about, addendum 2 and all the options that are in it. I don't know if I have enough time to sit down and break this thing down and truly understand it. This one is a little bit different. And as an association, we never like to be a group that says, here's a statement, we're making it, now just go vote because we told you to. We always try to push people, this is how to think. Here's the information, here's our opinions on it. You don't have to agree with all of our opinions on it. Maybe you think C on this option and we think D, but overall, we want you to participate in this process. This one's not as nuanced as that. So it really comes down to, would you like to see what I would call bare minimum regulations and a little bit more management and regulatory respect for false albacore, understanding that what happens in North Carolina, which is one of the hotbeds of albie fishing on the East Coast, you kind of got the New England pulse, the North Carolina pulse, and then there is a Florida fishery as well. Recognizing that one of the bigger communities in this fishery taking an action also could have some influence from the rest of the coast and other states to say, hey, man, we're probably a little bit behind and there's no reason we don't have basic management as well. The comment deadline we should call out is Monday, the 19th at 4 p.m. If you agree with that ethos, then this one's pretty simple. And it's I support what you guys are doing here. You know, let me freestyle a random comment. My name is John Doe. I appreciate what North Carolina is doing. Put in basic guardrail management for false albacore. I fish for these fish along the coast of Rhode Island and would love to see more states appreciate, respect, and manage them going forward.
Not only that, I mean, look, North Carolina in October, people travel far and wide to book our guides and go out and catch an albie on the fly. And that's, I mean, it's an enormous, enormous economic engine for, you know, what otherwise might not be, you know, the idyllic, you know, it's not like your kids are out of school. It's not like you're going on the summer vacation there. So why not book a trip? People are going there to catch albies, period, hard stop. So if you're one of those, traveling anglers that really loves that community and the camaraderie down in North Carolina, like, this comment is for you. You are traveling there. You are positively impacting the economy. You're doing it for one fish and one fish alone. And that's really incredibly valuable feedback for the state of North Carolina and the managers. You know, it truly is. Like, they can, it's kind of eye opening when you see all of these people from like really far places away.
Yeah. So anyways, how ASGA typically sets this up, we typically build a public comment guide that breaks down all the options, goes in depth, gives you resources, other stuff to link outside of our website to learn more about. This one, not as nuanced. You'll find our public comment guide. At the start of it, you'll find a link to our recap of essentially step one in this process. So if you want to see how the first vote went down, a couple screenshots about the actual rule, how it's written, some of our talking points from there, you can find that in the first paragraph. And then you go down and it basically shows you when the meeting is, four or five talking points that we think are important that a lot of our guides and anglers and business owners are going to bring up in their comments. And then you scroll down and the last section right there, there's a beautiful photo of some tagging going on. And then you got a button that takes you to North Carolina portal. And the portal is really easy. Literally, you just write in your name. It makes you select your state. And then there's a wide open text box that says, write whatever you want to write.
Yeah. And oh, Cody, beyond that, let me tell you, like, but I'm pretty sure that we have the link up there for the actual meeting in North Carolina and, you know, not just the comment portal. The reason why I bring that up is if anyone is free on Friday morning, it's going to be really hard to get our guides and recreational anglers to this meeting because it's in Raleigh. And it is August and kids are going back to school and guides are trying to get as many trips as they can before the summer's done. So it's challenging because Raleigh's a couple of hours drive away from the coast. However, if you click that link, you can watch the live stream. They live stream it on YouTube. And I think it would be really interesting, you know, if you had just a little bit of time on Friday morning to click on that and watch the live stream of that, because I think you'd be surprised at some of the comments that you hear from people around the table, whether they support or are against this. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, it's one of those policy things where you don't really have to know a lot about policy or the fishery. But boy, do you know a lot about people's motivation when you start hearing them get to talking. Because one side is going to sound logic and logic driven and thoughtful and like, you know, hey, this isn't hurting anyone. It's actually protecting everyone's interests. And the other side will make up kind of crazy excuses, rife with inaccuracies. And it just, again, you do not have to be a student of policy to listen to this and just be like, yeah, I think that other side's full of shit. Because it's a pretty cut and dry issue. Because it's not like, do I want a 28 to 31 or a 29 to 32 inch slot, or, you know, do I want this or that for strike? No. It's like, okay, well, do you just want a friggin' free for all and, you know, no holds barred, let's go? Or do you want some thoughtful management put in place that ensures that these fish are around for generations to come? I mean, it is like, it is a black and white issue, right? There's not a lot of gray area in this one. There's not, like you said, there's not a ton of education. It's about as simple as it gets, you know?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about fisheries regulations, how many times does a regulation get approved that essentially would do absolutely nothing with an asterisk in the immediate future that could affect anyone? Right. And so when you think about it, it's like, well, okay, well, what is the point of this then? You already hit that nail on the head with the long-term goals and the goal of starting to put more respect on this fishery, set up some framework around it and protect it from large-scale changes. That's the goal here. And so to hear anyone like extremely worked up about the potential of what this could or couldn't do is like, okay, well, next year, nothing's going to change. And the year after that, nothing's
going to change. Well, not only that, Cody, because like, what is that? I think thou protest too much. Like, what the hell is really going on? If you're against going 200% over your highest year and then having a 3,500 pound trip limit, if you were protesting that, what is really going on? What the hell is really going on? Because I could drive a Mack truck through those regulations.
Let's round out the last talking point you just hit right there about the tuning in. Last time, for the first step in this process, we parsed out the audio from the vote and the commentary around this, and we will aim to do the same here. So try to tune in. If not, hopefully there'll be a podcast. I don't know if it'll be as rapid reaction where we'll need to turn it around the same day, same afternoon. But regardless, there'll be a follow-up where people can listen, and we'll try to condense down some of the audio so you can hear these conversations in podcast form too. So I'm glad you called that out. You can go find, there is a podcast where if you want to hear the commentary from step one, it was pretty interesting. Interesting in a handful of different facets of the word interesting, but that does exist, and we'll do the same here for everyone that's involved.
Yeah. And Cody, I'll just say one other thing, like, you know, everyone's like, okay, how do we help? How do we participate? And, you know, you can, when we put that link up on the website, it's live stream, but you can always go back and listen to it. You don't have to like be tuned into the computer at 9 a.m. on Friday morning. You can be driving home from work at 6:30 at night and just listen to the audio, you know, in your truck when you're going home, that, you know, it saves it. It's not just live stream. But by listening in, you don't have to take our word for it. It's a lot different when we do a podcast like this and tell you what people said versus actually hearing it yourself. And when you hear it yourself, you are empowered with that knowledge. You know, we're not BSing now. You know, we're not, you know, inflaming the issue or being drama queens. Like, we're actually telling you what happened. But the more people that listen in and get that firsthand experience, I got to be honest, it holds people accountable from not saying really stupid shit in these meetings, because they know people are listening. You know, these commissioners, whether it's ASMFC, we've got some doozies from the Mid-Atlantic Council earlier this week, or, you know, a state agency. You know, if you know a bunch of people, they kind of forget because they live in a bubble and they're kind of prone to say crazy shit. It makes them think twice. It really, once they start understanding that people are listening. So just by listening, you're helping too, because that's a great way for the word to get out in your networks that you're like, hey man, you got to listen to this. Like this person is nuttier than a squirrel turd. Like, listen to what they're saying. How are they on this commission?
I mean, comparatively, Tony, you've been doing fisheries management, involved in the fisheries management process for a lot longer than I. You know, I'm still under a decade in this space. Think about the differences from 10 years ago, someone at one of those meetings that had, what, 20 people in the building, 30 people in the building at most, probably 30 people, including the commissioners. Making a really important decision for a coastwide fishery based off of then also a significantly lower public participation and engagement at that point. There was no digital portals and all this stuff, right? And different ways to, you know, we're probably a year away from submitting your fisheries comment via Snapchat. You know, this game is evolving. Now, if someone, quote unquote, as you said, goes on some crazy shit tangent that's just totally off base, well, a podcast like this and a blog from someone else who's involved, 4 to 5 figure audience is going to know within 24 to 36 hours. I mean, if something happened today and we record a podcast, 1,000 people are going to listen within the first day. There are times where you do a push and you don't get everything that you're hoping for out of a campaign. The world ain't always sunshine and rainbows. But that being said, through my short tenure in this space, generally speaking, when people show up in an educated and thoughtful manner and they play by the rules and don't go rogue, you play through the system that is set up, generally speaking, it does go in our favor.
So hop on, send your comments in. Please send your comments in to North Carolina. Listen in if you can. If you can't right away, it'll still be up there on the YouTube. Thank y'all all for rallying around this little fish that we love so much. And fingers crossed, you know, we think next Friday is going to be a good day for Albies.